Today in the life of the branch, calm down. Resurrection, soar like Jesus. Can I get a quick soaring praise for the resurrected Jesus? Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome. I'm Richard McWhite, pastor of Ridge Branch Baptist Church. It's a new day for faith and encouragement here at the branch. We look forward this month to the greatest celebration in Christianity. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. March 2024 will be an exciting time together. We're excited about the church here at the branch, and we begin our excitement each Sunday morning at 9:45 with Bible study, and then at 10:30, a worship center explosion of celebration as we gather to worship there. We hope that you will soar with us in the month of March and be present at the church. But on Wednesday nights at the branch, we have our time together with adults and students and children. We start out in the worship center at 6 p.m. with a time of musical praise and worship. And then we have a time of prayer and Bible study. And then afterwards, we have a music activity for those who like to sing and perform in our services. We have a rehearsal after that. So come and join us for that if you're musically inclined. We meet at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. We have also full range of age groups for you when you come. May God bless you, and may you have a wonderful March 2024 as you worship resurrected Jesus this month. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to calm down today. Help us to take a breath. Help us to understand that you are in control. Help us understand that you endure forever. Help us understand that you are known in every generation. Lord, have mercy and compassion on the people today. Thank you, God, that you're real. Thank you that you are the controller of history. Thank you for your miraculous signs and wonders. Thank you that you strike down the enemies of our lives, that you strike down the possibilities of tragedy in our lives. Father, help us understand that by being in control, you are all strength. By you being in control, you are overcoming our anxiety. And Father, help us to achieve tranquility in your presence. Through your love and mercy, may gracefully abound forever. In the day your son Jesus entered the great city of Jerusalem and saw and wept and celebrated with the people. May we also calm down and rejoice and celebrate today with Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In today's society and in today's world, we have great celebrations. We've seen great celebrations on the athletic fields and in the sports arenas. We've seen great celebrations in the coming and going of famous stars. In fact, here at the church, we had a young girl who came in with a cup, a very special cup to her. It had the actress and singer Taylor Swift on it, and it had a little compartment to put the little goodies in, and a lower part that contained root beer, and so she was having a great time with that because she loves Taylor Swift. Okay, you may not, but there's always kind of great celebration taking place around Hollywood and around sports people, and sometimes even in the political sphere, you have great celebrations, especially during the thrill of victory. And then also in our lives, in day-to-day living in humanity, it is like the other end of that, the day of victory, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. So I see a lot of people in the agony of defeat. Agony of defeat. They need to have Jesus come into the city of their lives and move great mountains to separate A to Z and make it calm in their lives. so many tasks, so many responsibilities we try to do. We are overwhelmed by things, as I'm reminded, that we could do years ago and we can no longer do. And we try to do them and then we end up hurting ourselves. We end up stumbling and falling. I speak as one who has done that, tried to do something I wasn't able to do. So be careful out there and remain calm. Remain calm. Well, we're turning in God's Word. Two scriptures this morning. It's Job and Zephaniah. And in these books, we're contrasting great calm. Now, most of you know something probably about the man called Job from Uz, and he was a righteous man. You probably know something about that. But it was the foundation of great calm where we had tremendous anxiety came about. So I'm going to start out with Job chapter 1, verses 1, and read some things here about Job, and then try to translate that into our 3 points today. The foundation of great calm, the test of great calm, and then the restoration of great calm. So, hey, calm down and listen well. Here we go. There once was a man who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. Oh, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and employed many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with him. Verse 5. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. And this was a regular practice of Job. In that, we see great foundations of calmness. See, Job had all this material stuff, but yet he still had, my friend, a desire to honor and please God. He planned ahead. He sought to be active instead of proactive instead of just reacting. And Job knew that human beings would sin. He himself had sinned, although he was listed as a man of blameless integrity. Didn't mean he was without sin. Now, that only one person was without sin that lived here on earth, and that's Jesus Christ. But here we have Job's situation, the foundation of great calm. That, my friend, is where Job excelled. And you see this in verse 5. He got up early in the morning and offered a burnt offering for each of them. In other words, he asked for intercession on each of his children. And man, that didn't take just a brief 30-second prayer. That took an hour, 2 or 3, praying for his children. When's the last time you spent a goodly amount of time praying for your children? Let me encourage you to do that. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to forgive them if they need forgiveness. Some kids are struggling to find their way, and some have not found their way yet and may be 30 or 40 years old. Pray for them. Now, if you have grandchildren, you also need to pray for them, even at the youngest stages. Continue to pray for our families as you move through life and help them experience the great calm that you should be experiencing as you walk in the Lord's way day by day and become blameless and have full of integrity in your life. That brings back to this great foundation of calm. If you can have a clean conscience at night, and other things, if you settle everything before you go to bed, I guarantee you, it is better than melatonin. It is better than melatonin. You will sleep better if you have a clean conscience. So that's why in the Bible it talks about settle issues before the sun sets. Because after sunset usually comes sleepy time, a night-night. And so if you want to have a good night-night sleep, you can buy all the beds up and down, heat control, cool it off. But if you do not have a clean conscience, you're not going to have great calm. The second point is the test of great calm. Okay, Job had it good, man. He was rolling in dough. He was his 401ks were out the what back. You know, he had all kind of wealth. Teams of oxen, camels, sheep, workers, and 500 female donkeys, and all that kind of thing. He had everything somebody could want. And then all of a sudden, we see and pick it up on verse 6 of chapter 1 of Job. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered, "The Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that is going on." Now, he's been patrolling the earth in an angelic scepter of way. Remember, Satan is not a god. He does not have God attributes, but he is an angel, and he moves across the world looking at what's going on. He moves in a linear fashion, so he's not can't be in one place a lot of different times. So he's limited to his activity. And so keep that in mind in your great anxiety that you may have, that he's limited in his activity. So let's listen to the conversation as it's issued by the writer of Job here in heavenly places. Here you go. Next, we'll do verse 7. Where have you come patrolling the earth? Verse 8, then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job?" I see God puffing out his chest saying, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." And then Satan replies, "Lord, yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." So here we have the great test coming upon a man and his materialism. Man in materialism. Yes, he had a lot of materialism. We today have a lot of things. In fact, we have too many things to take care of, too many things to get done. So that's a little tidbit there of learning. Get rid of some of the things that you don't really need. Cut out the storage rooms and downsize so that you can calm down if you're anxious. So here, Satan replied to the Lord, "He has good reason to fear you. Take down his wall of protection. We'll see. He'll curse you right." And then the Lord said, "All right, you may test him." The Lord said to Satan, "Do whatever you want with him, everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. Do not harm him physically." I mean, do not take his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence. So here we have the test beginning, because Satan is unleashed not only to patrol back and forth the earth, he is now unleashed to actually go down and start mayhem and havoc to place anxiety on Job so that he would curse God's face. So here we have the rest of this scripture starting in verse 13. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting in the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home and this news: "Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them, and Sabines raided us," a raiding party from another place. "They stole the animals and they killed the farmhands. I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." So here, this messenger was speaking, and all of a sudden while he's speaking, another messenger arrived with news: "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds, and I am the only one to escape to tell you." And then while he was continuing to speak, third messenger arrived with the news: "Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants, and I am the only one who's escaped to tell you." Then while he was speaking, three of them speaking, here comes another. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with the news: "Your sons and daughters were feasting at the older brother's home. Suddenly a powerful wind swept into the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. And the house collapsed and all the children are dead. and I'm the only one to escape to tell you. Now, we stop there because this, my friend, is probably the greatest test of calm when you get the news that one of your children has passed away. Or you get the news one of your grandchildren have suddenly been killed. Or perhaps you've lost a baby. Perhaps you've lost a spouse. Perhaps you lost a dear friend. All this is great anxiety that will come upon us. And Job had to be ready for that because he knew that God was God and that he would give him calm. So it was a test on Job to see if he could be calm. Notice all that he lost. You know, he talked about 7,000 sheep gone, 3,000 camels gone, team of oxen, 500 gone, 500 female donkeys gone. All the employees and servants were gone. And these four messengers were all that remained. So this was a great devastation of material things and the people that he lost. You know, material things can be replaced, but people that you lose, they cannot. So this was very troubling to Job. In fact, Job stood up, tore his robe in grief, then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. Listen to that. Man, during the test of great calm, Job decided that he would fall down and worship God. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all this, verse 22, this is a very important verse. In all this, in all the four calamities that he just heard, Job did not sin by blaming God. And in that story there, you see the test of great calm was made by Job's continue to worship God and not to blame God for what happened. Many situations, loss of life, loss of property, loss of health. Sometimes we want to blame God. We want to blame God for what our aches and pains. We want to blame God for a bad relationship. We want to blame God for a bad financial situation. And where lots of times, a lot of that is our own doing, and we get ourselves in situations. But look at this. Satan is after you, and you need to place your faith and trust in a God who will preserve you. And so we find there that the test of great calm was challenged by Job himself. I will continue to worship God, and I will not sin to bring dishonor to the God I serve. That is, my friend, a great strength that is provided. And I believe Job did this. He surrendered to God's sovereignty, and he observed God's promises, and he acknowledged God's presence. And in those, the sovereignty, you can attain God's strength. In the promises, you can overcome anxiety. And in the acknowledgement of God's presence, you can achieve, even after great destruction, tranquility, which brings great calm. So the restoration of great calm. I want to turn now to Zephaniah 3 and talk about this, where this was dealing with a rebellious city of Jerusalem, different time frame altogether. But you see the restoration of calm here in Zephaniah 3. And it boils down to this. First of all, submit to God's will. Open your heart to his peace, to God's peace. Open your heart to God's peace and align your heart with his love and abide in his grace and mercy. So let's delve into Zephaniah 3, 1 through 17 and see what that's all about. What sorrows await rebellious, polluted America? No, it says Jerusalem there. But it could have been America. The city of violence and crime. Is that your city? No one can tell it anything. It refuses all correction. Does that sound like a daughter or a son or perhaps a relative? It does not trust in the Lord or draw near to God. And all those are problematic things. So how do we restore? Okay, its leaders are like roaring animals hunting their victims. Its judges are like ravenous wolves at evening time who by dawn have left no trace of their prey. Its prophets are arrogant liars seeking their own gain. Its priests defile the temple by disobeying God's instructions. But the Lord is still in the city, and he does no wrong. Day by day he hands down justice, and he does not fail. But the wicked know no new shame. I have wiped out many nations, devastating their fortress walls and towers. Their streets are now deserted. Their cities lie in silent ruin. There's no survivors, none at all. Verse 7. I thought, surely they will have revenge for me now. Surely they will listen to my warnings. Then I won't need to strike again, destroying their homes. But no, they get up and they continue their evil deeds. The prophet Zephaniah is talking about what God is going to do to restore. And it goes on to say, then I will purify the speech of the people so that everyone can worship the Lord together. My scattered people who live beyond the rivers of Ethiopia will come to the present their offerings. On the day we'll no longer need to be ashamed and no longer be rebels against me. I will remove all the proud and arrogant people from among you. There will be no more haughtiest or on my holy mountain. Those who are left will be the lowly of humble, for it is they who trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will never tell lies or deceive one another, and they will eat and sleep in safety, and no one will make them afraid. Oh man, no one will make them afraid. Here we are, three things, and I'll close. First of all, submitting to God's will and standing firm in faith amidst the trials. Secondly, open your heart to his peace. Opt for trust over fear. Thirdly, align your heart with his love and abide in his grace and mercy. Remember that even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we can find great calm by placing our trust in the Lord. Just as Job remained steadfast in his faith despite losses, and Zion or Jerusalem was promised restoration and protection by God in Zephaniah, we too can soar in 24 by clinging to our faith and finding peace in his presence. Find the great calm today by trusting in the name of Jesus as your Savior and Lord. If you want to do that now, pray this prayer with me, my friend. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I pray great calm has come upon your life today. And anxiety has left the building. And we would like to know about your celebration of new life in Christ today. Would you go to redsbranch.org and on the landing page out there, fill the form that is recording your decision. You can rededicate your life or join the great work here at Ridge Branch in the Aiken, South Carolina area. We would love indeed to hear from you. If you'd like to support our ministry by a gift or perhaps send us a prayer request or a praise report, you can do so by sending it to the following address: Ridge Branch Baptist Church, 390 Ridge Branch Road, Aiken, South Carolina, 29801. Once again, that address is Ridge Branch Baptist Church, 390 Ridge Branch Road, Aiken, South Carolina, 29801. Thank you, and may God calm your every mood today.
Thank you for listening.